Good evening. If you would, please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we'll be tonight. You don't have to worry about this being wisdom from just any old dad. It's certainly not this dad up here, but this is wisdom from the dad or the father of who wrote Solomon or who wrote Proverbs. And so a lot of people, since they say Proverbs was written by Solomon or gathered by Solomon here, if he is talking about his dad, then that is the dad that's writing behind this chapter. Hold on. I'm being told that there's technological problems. Okay. It's not on my microphone. It's on the screen here. So let me step aside. We do this about once a quarter, maybe once a month. I don't mean that as an insult. I got taken the wrong way by some people. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 4. You can't see this outline. The outline talks about acquiring wisdom. And then wisdom being like a well-lit path. That was why it's a very appropriate song that Dylan led a moment ago there. And then the need for wisdom to be found in the focus of a healthy body. So we're going to talk about different ways that our body parts can be focused on wisdom. So when you go through chapter 4, at first glance, there's really nothing new, you might say. It's another wisdom, part of this grand wisdom poem of chapters 1 through chapter 9. But it's valuable to have repetition. And so it's going to repeat some things here that are going to be good for us to make sure that we have them stick well in our mind. All right? Okay, I've been told I'm supposed to stay away from the... Well, how am I going to advance the slides? Okay, I'll just point at Nate. Nate, I'm going to point at you and you advance them since I'm a curse on the podium. So... All right, Proverbs chapter 4. Sorry for the humor and attempt to work through this outline at a distance here as I'm glancing over my notes. Okay, so repetition can be powerful because it drives home some stuff that we know, but every time, once in a while, we need those reminders. So that's what's going on here. In chapter 3, you might remember, I don't know if it was a month ago, but in chapter 3, Yahweh was depicted as being like a father who instructs us in certain ways. And so now you're going to have Solomon, in this case, David, then his father, doing the instruction that he needs to do here as well. So let's begin reading here in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning, we'll do verses 1 through 9. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her. And she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Again, here, what you're seeing is, and this is underappreciated part of the Bible, wisdom throughout the wisdom literature is depicted in the feminine. It is she. Being referred to here. And so sometimes when people say that the Bible has a negative view towards women, they're not taking into consideration all the possible data that could be put into the scales of weighing how does the Bible view women. Because the Bible here is calling wisdom in the feminine. And so it's a father instructing his son, and what he's instructing him in is the most important thing that you can get is, not talking about a wife, he says the most important thing you can get is wisdom. We're going to see in other places in Proverbs where it talks about the value of acquiring or obtaining or finding a good wife, a good woman. But here what we see is what's more important than that is getting this wisdom. So here's my question. This kind of alludes back to a lesson we had, I think it was in November, and a little bit forward to one that's going to come up next week when we're in 1 Timothy 5 on Sunday morning. Sometimes our churches talk a whole lot about the importance and value of getting married. And sometimes we even maybe subconsciously judge someone based upon their marital status. We might say, why is she still single? why hasn't he gotten married yet? I understand where that question may come from, but here is what we ought to make sure we instruct our children to understand, and what ought to become our default question is not about whether she or he is married, but whether he or she has wisdom. So it'd be okay if the question is, I wonder why that person's not growing. And you may say, well, that's how I can tell they're not growing. They haven't grown up and gotten their spouse. I understand the humor that you may think that has, but it can be very hurtful to people. And what we ought to be asking about is that person pursuing wisdom? If that's what they're pursuing, then they're in a good place. The spouse may or may not come along, but they ought to be seeing here what the Father says here is what's most important is get this wisdom. It reminds me of what Jesus said about the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. In Matthew chapter 13, he tells these parables about the kingdom. You've heard him before, where he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid it again. And from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now, I'm going to tell you a little secret here, because I'm assuming that my brother and some of his friends do not listen to the regular podcast of sermons, so they'll never find this. They'll just keep this between me and you, okay? We know that what people do when they fall in love is they begin thinking about how they're going to save up enough money to buy whatever it takes to keep the significant other happy, right? It's not just the boy does it for the girl. The girl will sometimes also do it for the boy. She'll just lavish all these gifts on her boyfriend. Well, what I hope that we will do is, I hope that what we will teach our children to understand is, the most important thing that you can be invested in is not your significant other, but be invested in seeking and finding and obtaining inheritance in God's kingdom. That's the mental image I want us to get from this parable and attaching it here with this part of Proverbs where the father is saying to his son, this is the most important thing you can acquire. Wisdom. Knowledge of God. Gaining the righteousness that he offers. And so I hope we'll make sure that our children understand that. It continue on then in the next couple of verses here, verses 10 through 19. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning about where we left off in verse 10, it says, hear my son and accept my sayings. And the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on, for they cannot sleep unless they do evil. And they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence, but the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Here's a word picture that Proverbs is giving us. Because we've talked about this before, right? The Bible's not illustrated, but there are word pictures. There's images that are supposed to come to our minds as we read this. And as I read through this one, the image that came to my mind, and you'll have it on the screen maybe in a bit, is this. You've seen these before where there are warning signs plastered all over the fence. Huge, do not enter. Maybe it says, beware of the attack dog. And it'll be 20 of these signs, right? And you're like, why did they have to put 20 signs up there? That's how much they wanted to make sure that someone did not enter.